T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
10:03 in the 5:03. Man, I am so excited right now, Jordan. I got to be real, bro. I like to have people that I know, are doing great things, people from Portland that have maybe moved on to, you know, do some other things worldwide. That's never been truer than right now, man. So I am lucky enough to know a lot of people, right?
You know, you are.
I'm pretty popular.
One of the most connected men in this city.
I mean, not to brag, but, you know, people know me, right? You know, but one of those people that I know, it might be the most interesting person in the world to me. Like the things that he does, the things that he's been able to do is super, super impressive, man. He's a producer. He's a director. He's a creator. He's an MC. He is a cruise ship director, like, which is arguably the coolest job anybody can have outside of maybe backup NFL quarterback. I don't know if there is a better job. He's seen the world. He's seen some amazing things. And then most recently, my man just completed his very first Ironman competition, which is arguably the most badass thing you can do. Man, he is a quarterback, man, from the Grover Cleveland High School, right? Ooh. Southeast Portland. But also, man, from Linfield College, man, he's done a little bit of everything, man. He is my guy. Dare I say one of my closest friends, one of my best friends, man. My guy, Mr. Jason Venner, man. Jason, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Good look, man. Way to gas me up there.
Oh, man, you know, I'm, honestly, it's just everything that was on your Wikipedia, bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's everything, you know. I just looked at your LinkedIn.
Cool, so I wrote it correctly.
Yes, good, right. Good, you know what I'm saying? Everything that you wrote on your LinkedIn is absolutely correct, man. Thank you so much for coming in, man.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. So we had lunch the other day, and at the end, I kind of had to spring it on him. I was like, hey, man, so like... know what you're doing this weekend, but if you're available, bro, I'd love for you to kind of come
really
on.
Love to have you.
The other day, by the way, he means less than 48 hours ago. Just
yeah,
to be clear.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, I was like, I was going to see you. I was like, I didn't want to shoot a text. It's like, well, you know, I'll just ask him when I, you know, if he's busy. Usually,
hey, are you doing 10 minutes from now? Cool,
yeah,
let's go.
Usually Saturday mornings are reserved for working out, honey-do list, you know, the
basics.
Taking care of things around the house, like whatever the case is, most people say no. And I'm okay with that. We used to be on Sunday mornings, right? At like
even
at 8 a.m. And hell no.
The homies are here.
Hell no. I'm sorry, bro. Like, I'm not coming.
Yeah, that's time? 8 bells? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, like, is this church? Get
yeah,
no.
That's one of the reasons that we changed the show from 8 a.m. to 9 to make sure everybody could be there. But but yes, man, I appreciate you coming
I'm
in,
honored.
Man.
I'm honored.
Yeah. I have so many questions for you. Like, number one, why go to Cleveland?
That's completely appropriate. Yeah. That's a completely appropriate question. Starting with the real basics. Yeah, so I didn't grow up in Portland. I was born in Seattle. I grew up in the kind of the Washington area, not in Seattle, but much farther south.
You'll pull the mic just a little closer to you,
yep.
brother.
Yes, sir. My bad.
You're good.
I grew up southern Washington, kind of, not even kind of, like really out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I was homeschooled. I was no running water, no electricity and all that shenanigans until I was about 13, 14 years old. And then I moved to Portland. I didn't have a choice in anything. I didn't know what Cleveland was. I didn't know what Benson, like, I didn't know what any of the PIO was. I didn't know what anything
was. Parents were like, you know what, man? I heard about the school called Cleveland. We're going to send you there.
I had family members go to Cleveland, like, when I was, before I was born, like, my, you know, my mom's sisters and things like that. So they all knew of Cleveland, but, you know, it was just a matter of, for the PIL, for the most part, outside of the couple of charter schools, it was your area. Yeah. Wherever you are is where you go. Your feeder school is your feeder schools.
You want to know what's crazy? Like, there's, as far as football,
yeah.
there's not a long lineage of great football
you
talent
said lineage
coming up.
And Cleveland. Yeah, there's
not.
There's
not a long history yeah. of great football talent. Actually, one of the other guys that actually end up being pretty good from Cleveland High School is one Andy Dirt Johnson, who was one of the hosts here for the Fan. So he's the only other guy that I personally know yeah. of. That went to Cleveland and had a solid
Cleveland
football
was one
career.
Of those, it totally was one of those schools where everybody was, if you were an athlete, you were focused on other sports. Like, our baseball team was decent. Our basketball squad, we were at a decent basketball squad.
You always had some hoopers. Yeah, Southeast always kept a few dudes that could hoop.
We had hoopers. Football always had a couple individual talents. You just never had enough dudes to field a team, and we were never very big. I was quarterback at 6'2", 215, and I was bigger than half my offensive line. And that's no disrespect to the offensive line. Those guys worked their tail off. They
should
just
have been
weren't.
Playing tight end.
Yeah. If we had people that could throw the ball, I Absolutely. Might have. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, you're almost playing, like, you know, 7-8-man football. Like, you're just trying to fill roles. Like,
and that's
you're just trying to get athletes
honestly,
in yeah. space.
If we're being honest, stuff. That's PIL football.
It's PIL football.
In general. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's not yeah. – you might be lucky to find a big offensive line at a Wilson – or, excuse me, what is it now? Wells.
What's Wells?
Yeah, Wells
oh,
is
see, I'm
Wilson.
Way out of this.
Wells is Wilson High School.
Oh,
so you
for
know
real?
They changed the names of.
Did they?
Madison is now McDaniel.
Okay.
And Wilson is now Ida B. Wells.
Alliteration, sticking with the letters. Okay.
Yeah, no. So yeah, it's.
Every now and then, like, you know, Grant had some big boys. You know, Jeff always had some big boys. Like, you know, different schools had athletes where you, the minute you rolled into the stadium as a football player for Cleveland, you were just like, oh, okay, it's going to be a long day. Like,
yeah.
it's going to be.
Yeah, now those kids get poached all the time.
And like, I'm sure. I mean, Cleveland became, you know, to be very clear, I had a pretty good career there, but to be real clear, I was no star. It was a small pond, bro. It was a real small pond.
You were pretty good. You know,
you ended up, sadly, you kind of ended up chasing your own stats to a certain extent because it was a smaller program and you were just, I mean, we were getting beat 42-15, you know, 42-14.
It's going to
be
a career day if you play against Cleveland.
Yeah.
You kind of had that in your mind where I'm going to have three interceptions. I might have a couple pick sixes.
Hey, easy with the interceptions. But,
yeah. I mean, maybe not for you, but yeah, we know it's going to happen.
Real.
It's going to be a couple forced fumbles.
It was. I had boys that my boys were at all the different PIL schools and we were part of a lot of homecoming games. Let's just say that. Like, a lot of people were trying to schedule Cleveland
yes.
at their homecoming.
Yes, we know. This is going to be a big
Yeah, we were rolling in
tape.
Just like, ah, okay. You yeah. knew exactly how many homecomings you were a part of, and that told you exactly where you stood in the PIL.
So being from Portland, man, yep. Blazers fan,
yep.
and
yeah,
everything
yeah.
have been for a long time, man. I do want to talk to you about kind of Blazers right now and the climate of everything. If you've followed, I'm not sure if you followed along.
Not as tightly as I probably should. I'm loosely following. I'm 30,000 feet following.
Yeah. So I have some questions just as a businessman,
yes.
as a business owner
yeah.
and everything, considering how things have moved for this Blazer squad, like renovating is something that you know a lot about. You just renovated your home here a little bit ago.
Tears your soul
the right now, the big argument is, man, well it looks like it's getting arguments coming kind of to a close, mm-hmm. but we'll see. But should an owner of a basketball team have to pay for renovations to a place that he's just kind of renting out?
I mean, I think it's a valid question. I think that there are, there's multiple facets, right? There's multiple points to it. On one end, what does the team mean to the city and what does the team bring to the city? And when we're talking major league sports in any kind, you know, we're talking professional sports of any kind, you're bringing an awful lot. There's right. there's an income that comes from that. The whole city benefits from that. The entire community benefits from that. Should there be a shared relationship? I tend to think so, but I know nothing about it. This is just completely me coming at this from a different angle, or from my own angle, I should say. Yeah, I think there should be a relationship. I think, you know, should an owner be responsible for bringing something in that benefits everybody, and then the city just goes, oh, thank you. Like, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe the city should play a role in that. No, am I saying what the percentage is? I'd be way out of my depth to step into that. But, you know, what I was reading that was interesting, and please correct me if this is wrong, but there was an interesting take I saw that said the expansion cost for an NBA team is about $8 billion, mm-hmm. but to buy an existing is about $4 billion. So ultimately, if you don't want to buy that if you don't want to buy that franchise, yeah, that tag and start a school somewhere, or start a team somewhere, you pay half that, and then you can either relocate or stay where you want, and you basically pick up your own expansion team if that's the role. So I mean, if that's the game that the new owner's playing, from a business perspective and not a fan perspective, I understand it. You know, from a fan perspective, it's a different game.
Oh, I hate it.
Obviously, yeah, completely different game. Like, please don't take the heart out of the city. you know, please don't take our
That's exactly
one,
what that would do, man. On the day that the Lloyd Center closes, could you imagine if the Blazers were to leave that area, this area? It would be... It'd be rough.
So, especially we've been talking about football and baseball for, you know, it feels like my entire adult life. I'm 40, almost 47, and I feel like all I've heard is, oh, there's a baseball team coming. Oh, there's an NFL team coming.
Yeah, that's
coming.
Not happening
oh, there's
anymore.
And no, I'm not disrespecting, you know, soccer or anything else, but, you know, when we talk about the big three, big four, you know, you're talking about those big sports. And again, love soccer to death, love the Timbers, love the Army, love all of it. But, you know, you get into the major sports and you want at least one. Like, you want at least one in your
Yes. And considering that we only have the one, like, that's all we can bank on.
Don't take our heart.
Kind of winning something. So yes, man, Jason Venner in studio with this Sports Saturday. We're going to come back with more. I actually have some questions about, you know, kind of some rapid fire stuff for you.
Let's go.
Just as far as travel and things you've seen. So, yeah, we'll talk more to my guy, Jason Venner, right here, Sports Saturday.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The studio talk is always better than what's on the air. So we
that's
kind
like
of,
a podcast, honestly.
Yeah, it really is.
That's, you can't say it usually.
That's what I think. This is the stuff that needs to go on the fans' Instagram.
But for the record, though, you know, working in entertainment, that's true in entertainment in general. The amount of conversations I have backstage with artists and people I work with, it's like it's nothing compared to what gets said on stage in front of a live crowd. You'd be talking to an artist backstage, and the conversations you have are before you actually do the interview. I do interviews with artists and things, and I'll sit with an artist and chat backstage, and then I'll go out and I'll do a 45-minute interview, and it will not be... It'll be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It'll be consumable and it'll be correct. Yeah. But what we talked about for 15 in the dressing room, in the green room before we walked out, was twice as entertaining as what we, you know.
If all those famous people that had podcasts actually did that part, oh my God, they'd be so much more popular than they are. And just, then the sports that you talk about, convos that we want to hear, if we just mic'd up the umpires and the refs when they were arguing with players with coaches, there would be, just inject it into my veins, take my credit card, I will pay you whatever amount that you want. That would be so successful.
And that's why they start mic'ing up players, right? On the field,
honestly,
on the court.
Hoping to catch other people's voices.
But isn't it like it's courtesy that player tells everybody, hey guys, they got me mic'd up tonight, and nobody, like the Mariners were playing the Rays on Apple TV last night, they had the Rays shortstop mic'd up, and he's like, on a good play. Like, no, we know you usually say F you little wuss. Like, lean
Give
into it,
to us,
damn
baby.
It.
That's why
it
I love the NFL. They're going to let it rip.
You can
actually hear it. But that's a great segue, because you're talking about, you know, interviewing people and hosting things. You have such an interesting job, because you get to be on a cruise ship for sometimes 6-7 months out of the year, 8 months sometimes out of the year at one point. What's it like to live on a cruise ship, like for months on?
Cruise ships are a unique experience for a variety of reasons, which I'm sure most people can kind of conjure up. But, you know, really, honestly, it's a college dorm for adults. Is the simplest way of putting it. You know, it's everyone is, cruise lines have different variations, but most cruise lines are at least 18. Most cruise lines are at least 21. I don't know that there's still 18 hiring age out there. Certain entertainers could be 18, but the vast, vast majority of staff are 21 and over. And the majority of your staff are usually 21 to 35, maybe 40. You got a couple older, you know, you got a few in the young range, but really you're living in that mid to late 20s. So it's a college dorm with adults and with everyone that has a job. And
what's
then
it
you
like being an older adult around college
kids.
Being around the kids. People take jobs on ships for a variety of reasons. One, the first one being travel. The first one being, I want to see the world. The second one being, depending on where you're from on the planet, I want to make as much money as I can, send it home to my family so I can retire as early as possible. Different cultures, different countries, you get paid usually in U.S. dollars. So if you are Indonesian or Filipino, or if you are wherever you are from in the planet,
it's huge.
It's huge. You know, there's multiples in that. There's exponents in that income. So, you know, there's folks that are out there that are, you know, they're grown. You know, they've got three kids. They're responsible for their. In other cultures, you're responsible for your wife and your wife's entire family and things like that. So you've got kids out there, just, you know, 21, 25, just drinking, trying to see the world, trying to make a little bit of money while they see the world, and then you've got 33, four kids, a wife, two grandparents, four aunts and uncles that they're responsible for at home. And those folks they're up, they're doing their job, they're going to bed, they're not playing games, they're not in the bar, they're not messing around. So you kind of have an oil and water mix. If oil is the party side and water is the adult side, oil is much, much heavier than water in this instance. Well, in most instances, but in this instance, certainly the people trying to travel and play it's a significant number. And you spend a lot of time just trying to figure out who's serious and who's not. Yeah. You know, who's out here trying to make something of themselves and who's out here just kind of messing around.
So one of the cool things that you're able to do is you host like maybe the entertainment for the night, or maybe the comedian, or the game night that's going on, or anything. One of the things that you've been able to host is a cruise that was themed for Dancing with the Stars, right?
Oh my God.
And his co-host was somebody that I've always admired, but is somebody that's in his cell phone now is probably like BFF, is one Joey Fatone from NSYNC.
No way.
What was that's like, awesome. Man? Yeah. How much fun was it to host something like Dancing with the Stars, which has become like a cultural phenomenon, right? You know, since the late 90s, early 2000s, whatever it was.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars at one point was the biggest show, I mean, in the world.
American Idol for dancing.
For a hot minute, right? It was the first time, it was one of the first times that we were able to be critics of something, we as the general populace were able to be critics of something that maybe we didn't understand as well. And so you had, you know, when you watch a football game, basketball game, you know, whatever, you've got play-by-play announcers, you got color announcers, you got people walking you through the experience. And so even as a novice fan, I've got people walking me through it so I understand it. You know, I'm proud to not be a novice fan, but if I was, I can understand how to get through it. On the other side of that, dancing is something that We all know it. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. But we don't necessarily know what we're looking at. We're not watching Nancy going, oh, that's a great paso. Oh, that's a phenomenal paw. You know, oh, that, oh, your lines are beautiful. Like, we don't know what we're looking at. So we need someone
don't
to guide
us. The foxtrot. You know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You don't know the quick step.
Yes,
yeah.
Your terminology. Okay. You don't know what's quick, quick, slow, and what's not, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really cool. Dancing in the Stars exploded. I had been, when I say teaching ballroom dance on a cruise ship, I'm no expert. I'm no worldly instructor or anything like that, but I knew the basics enough that I could teach people that didn't know how to do most ballroom dance steps. I could teach most of them. So I would do a 45-minute class probably 2-3 times a week of different styles of dance on a ship. And so when I was actually leaving cruise ships, I got a call, Dancing with the Stars. There was a partnership being formed by the cruise line. So there's kind of two assets. I worked for a cruise line for 14 years right out of college. And then I transitioned into what I'm doing now, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute, on ships. But when I was working there, so I was just kind of transitioning out of working there. Dancing with the Stars formed a partnership with that same cruise line. Because I had a little bit of background in those things, they basically said, hey, would you come on and be a producer and the MC? So I got to be the Tom Bergeron of the of the cruise ship version.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, so it was cool. We would bring out, we'd bring out 6 to 8 troop members. And those are the dancers, the guys and girls you see in the background of every big number. So when there's the stars and there's the professional dancers, there's always 4 to 6 dancers right behind them that are world class. They're just not necessarily the fronts. So we would bring 4 to 6 of the background dancers, which were some of the greatest dancers on the planet. And we would couple them with 2 to 4 of the professional dancers, the names you know, the Kim Johnsons, the Sharna Burgess, the Trista McManus, Derek Huff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we would also partner them with 2 or 3 of the celebrities from past seasons that we thought would resonate with cruise ship employees or cruise ship guests, not employees. And it was a really cool experience. We would do a fashion show. We would do a Q&A. We would do autographs. We'd do a photo session. We'd do 2 full production shows that were featuring all different styles of dance, featuring the actual dancers. And then we would do a dance competition. And so all week long, we would do a dance comp, like the waltz or this, that, or the next thing. And then at the end of the cruise, using the celebrities and the pros from the actual TV show, I would host and they would judge, and we would have the guests do Dancing with the Stars live, basically. Yeah. It was a pretty unique experience.
Did anybody get any actual call? Any of those guests that were there get any actual calls to be on the show? Because, hey, man, we like what you did here.
You know, we had some crazy talented guests pop up. The first year, I think it's like any, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a TV show out there called Alone, which I think is kind of fascinating. And it's the first year, you could tell the applicants that the whole point was to go off into the wilderness and survive alone as long as you can. Whoever survives alone the longest wins. The first year was like librarians and school teachers and me and us. And, you know, it was people that have no business being out in the middle of nowhere. And it was just literally survival.
Then all the pros show up.
Exactly. Once the word gets out, then they're getting pros. They're getting like, oh, no, this is what I do. So for the first year, we ran it for 3 years, Dancing with the Stars. The first year, people just happened to be on the ship.
Oh, they're doing Dancing with the Stars? Let's go.
Ethel and
I. That's usually how it goes on a cruise. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's exactly what it is. You know, it's exactly what it is. And then by year 2 and 3, we actually found we had ringers. So people would start cruising when we were cruising, specifically because they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be noticed. And you could tell by costumes. You can tell by footwear who spent thousands of dollars.
What do you mean? I always pack this.
I always
when I travel
with these.
Yeah. Why not? Kind of suck. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, F you.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And it becomes, the issue became that you'd have 2 or 3 ringers that were, you know, 22, 24 and athletic and, you know, freakishly talented. And then you'd have all your 40s, 50s, 60s and 70 year olds that filled out the rest of the cast on each cruise. And so you'd have this whole string of talent from, you know, trying to compete with each other.
Did you pick up anything while dancing or while kind of teaching those dances? Like, can you and your wife go out tonight?
Yeah.
And you, because I know your wife is a dancer,
yeah, she's
right?
Dope.
You
know,
she's dope. On top of many other things, you know, that she has going for herself.
She's a hyphenate.
Yeah, yeah. So you've picked up the tango, the waltz, the Viennese waltz, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, I can hold my own. I'm not necessarily going to, you know, I'm not picking up a contract from a wedding. Like, if, you know, if you saw me at a wedding, you wouldn't be like, oh, he needs to be on TV. Nothing like that. But, you know, I can hold my own.
Hey, man, see, a man of many talents. One of his other talents, man, we're going to talk about next, because Jason just finished his first of probably many Ironmans. He was telling us the other day, and I'm telling you, I think that was all we talked about for like almost 2 hours when we were at lunch. It was just like,
it's fascinating.
What did you do and how did you do? So, yeah, we have a lot of questions about that, man. So let's talk about Iron Man Jason Venner when we come back. But first, Jordan has a Sports Center update.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like,
If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet relying on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
10:33. My guy, man, we're in here kind of trading funny stories. So Jordan, check this out. I talked about this guy being one of the most interesting people I've met.
He might be more interesting than the Dos Equis guy. Can't get ahead of ourselves.
Check this out.
No, I don't know, man. You could ride on these yachts. You are going from place to place with beautiful women.
One day I go to his house for a dinner, and this is when he kind of lives near Powell Butte, you know, area and everything like that. So
go to
his house for dinner, and he's busy when I get there. I'm a little early, so I just kind of end up chilling in the kitchen with his wife, and we're having some cheese and some crackers and stuff like that.
Wine,
just kind of chilling.
Cheese.
He's actually doing an interview in his room or in his office and everything. So about 20 minutes later, he comes out. What's going on, bro? It's like, how was your interview? Oh man, it was good, man. Who'd you interview? It's like, oh, the Jacksons. I said,
like,
what? Like, he was like, no, yeah, the Jacksons. It's Tito, Marlon. It's like, wait a minute.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
like,
whoa.
Yeah. Apparently.
Those Jacksons.
Yeah, apparently he has a great relationship.
Fortunate with
the Jacksons. Was a part of one of their cruises that they did.
Four now.
Four
I think.
Cruises
Four or five,
that, the,
yeah.
that the Jacksons did. So. Let's call Jackie right now. Let's see what happens if we call
I'm not on
Jackie.
That level. I'm not on that level. If I saw him on the street, they would know me, but I'm not calling. Yeah, there's no digit exchange.
I don't know, man. Like, so one of the coolest things, and I've been mentioning it all show, and I couldn't wait to talk about it, man. Just recently, you completed your very first 70.3.
70.3. To be very clear, 70.3.
Ironman competition, which to be Jordan. What's the percentage of people worldwide that you think have competed in an Ironman?
Less than 5%. It's got to be insane.
That's absolutely correct. Okay. The answer is 1% of the world's population has
less
competed
than 2%.
And completed an Ironman competition.
Okay.
So initially, maybe about a year and a half ago, Jason was like, man, and you know anything about my guy, he's kind of intense, right? You know what I'm saying? He's a little intense. He's like, hey,
it's
bro.
True. It's true.
Hey,
I tried to fight that for a long time. I'm accepting
like,
it.
He's like, hey, bro, I'm about to do this Ironman competition. It was like, and like a the whole like a 70.3. Like I didn't really know it was 70.3 at this point. I'm finding this out now. I was like, really, you're gonna do the whole thing, like the swimming and the everything? He was like, yeah. So it's like a mile and a half swim.
1.2 swim.
Yeah, and then it's like a 65
56 man, on the bike, and then 13.1 on the run.
What? Yeah. Like, you're going to do this, like, did you get in trouble or something?
Yeah, like at once? Like, is this intentionally?
Is this community service or anything like this? That? So take me through initially, like, how do you start training for something like this?
So, thank you for asking that. That's a good buildup. To be very clear with everybody, a couple quick things. First and foremost, there is a discussion that goes on very actively about what is an Ironman, because Ironman is a brand.
Right.
Ironman is not a distance. It is not a specific thing. It's an event that is branded in the same way that you would say, I need a Kleenex. Yeah, it's a tissue, but we've all identified tissue as Kleenex. Kleenex right. has become the term for it. Great job by Kleenex. Great job by Ironman. So there's a discussion, an active discussion about, are you an Ironman if you haven't done the 140.6, which is the full length 2.4 swim, 112 bike, 26.2 run. So to be clear, when you call me that, yes, I've done an Ironman event. I've done a 70.3. I mean, no disrespect to the 140.6s out there that have done the incredible effort to do that. With that said, 70.3 to a lot of people is an incredible effort.
Listen,
and I'll take
man,
that.
Stop. I'm going to stop you there because I'm a fair swimmer. I'm a fair swimmer. I'm not going
to drown.
I'm not going to drown if I'm out there. A mile and a half in a river, I'm not going to make it. A mile, 1.2 in a river, and then a 56 mile bike ride, I'm not going to make it.
You make it. You'd make it. So, you'd make it, and here's why. And here's why you'd make it, and this is where I was leading into it. That you said, what was my motivation? What's it like? Well, the first thing you have to decide is, do you have the discipline to do it? I think that's...
Am I crazy?
Yeah. Am I just nuts enough? Am I just crazy enough to get involved in this? And do I have the discipline to see it through? Because that's what's going to stop most people. You and I had a conversation the other day, and we were talking, we had one of our boys, you're talking about at lunch a couple days ago. And, you know, one of the big reframes for me is I used to say things like, I don't have time. I didn't do that. I didn't have time to get that in. Did you go to the gym today? Nah, I didn't have time. Yeah, you did. You had time. If you switch those words from I don't have time to I didn't prioritize, it changes your outlook. So did you have time to go to the gym today? Of course you did. You didn't prioritize it, which is fine. There's no judgment on that. You don't have to prioritize it. But don't kid yourself by telling yourself you didn't have time. You have time. And I know there's people with crazy schedules. So again, with all due respect, I'm talking to the general population. I'm not talking to the people that are on the ends of the spectrum here. We have time. We just don't prioritize certain things. Every person most people training for these events, you know, you're putting in anywhere from 7 or 8 to 15, 16 hours a week on top of workout, on top of your life. How do you find those hours? Where do you find those hours? Do you have kids? Do you have a 9-to-5? Do you have, you know, there's a lot of things you got to go through to figure it out. I'm blessed that, you know, with my job, my career, it allows me a lot of time. So the first thing for me was I decided I was disciplined enough to do it. And I also decided that I'm not motivated enough to do, I negotiate with myself all the time. So if I, you know what I mean? Like if I don't have something out in front of me that I'm training for and I go, I should go for a run today, or I should go out on the bike today, or I should go for this today, I'll do it most days. But I negotiate and I start with like, ah, man, my back's a little sore. Maybe I'll do it a little bit later. Ah, my stomach's feeling some kind of way. Or, ah, you know, I haven't eaten in the right time. Or, ah, you know, I'll make all these little things in my head about why I can't, why I shouldn't. I'm too tired. You know, whatever it is. All legitimate, but at the same time, they're excuses for myself to not get it done. What I've learned is if I have something out in front of me that scares me just enough, oh, I will get it done. So if I sign up for a marathon, if I sign up for a whatever it is, or if I just pick a date to do something that is heavier duty, if I don't train for it, I know how badly it's going to damage me because I'm also hyper competitive.
What was the most intimidating part for you? So for me, like, I'll be honest, I can swim. I have no problem, you know, getting in anything, but swimming long distances like that would probably be an issue. That would be the most daunting part for me. For
Absolutely.
You, initially, when you looked at it, what was the part that you were like, that's probably going
to
suck?
And that's completely fair. First, what I would say to you, though, and I said this to you before, and I'll say it to you on air so you hear it loud and clear, swimming is everyone's most it's the hardest part of the whole thing for almost everyone. The elite swimmers, there's some crazy great swimmers out there, and there's some average swimmers out there, and there's some existence swimmers out there. There's people that get in the water and exist. I told you about my experience. Yeah. Man, I had all kinds of drama on the swim, and I existed, and I got through it, right? You know, you get through it, and you still have a decent time and whatnot, but swim is the most daunting for most people. People die in the swim every year in Ironman events, and that includes the 70.3, not just the full. Like, it's there's a reason it's first, you know, to get it out. Like, you know, they can't put it last where people are tired.
Yeah.
It's, and I'm not saying it's like people passing left, right, and center, but it does happen. You know, usually you get one or two here and there that happen. And so, you know, the swim is no joke. And it's a fearful thing. There's a stress factor. There's a lot of things that people panic in the water. It's chaos. People are grabbing your legs and pulling you. You're getting kicked. You're getting yanked. People are swimming over the top of you. It's, you have to be really, really calm in the water. And it's a thing. For me, it's, I know, because running, it's, if you stop swimming, you can float. If you stop biking, you can coast. If you stop running, you stop.
Yeah.
It's the one thing where you have no, you are pure engine on the run, and it's last.
Yeah.
And a 70.3, again, not the most incredible distances, but long enough that by the time you get there, so I guess.
What do you mean, stop it?
Well,
1.2 swim, 56 bike, 13-mile run. I know you're on another level, but that
I'm
sounds,
not.
That sounds extraordinary to normal.
I'm not on another level. I'm just respecting the people that are on the other levels, I guess. Let me
be clear. You got to understand, like, that's a level that most people, the level that you reach and are on is a level that most people will never.
Yeah, within your community, you may not be the top, but sure. Brother, you're the top of most.
You're very kind. Yeah, you guys are kind.
Absolutely, man. What was that like reaching the finish line? Like, actually, like, going through the thing, you've done this tough ass run. Yeah. You've done this crazy ass bike ride. Yeah. You had a shoulder issue, which we didn't get a chance to tell us about. You had a shoulder issue that kept you from swimming, so you floated for 1.2 miles. Yeah. What's it like to finally come to the finish line? And
Ironman does something incredible, and I'm not saying other races don't do this. My experience with Ironman, though, and I've done a lot of running events, I've done a lot of different races, and Ironman did something absolutely incredible. You have 8.5 hours to finish, so the slowest person out there has 8.5 hours to finish, just to be clear. And there's three tiers of people that are doing Ironman. There's the top tier, which are the elites, which are competing for podiums and you know, for worlds and things like that. They're looking for real, real times, which are beyond crazy compared to the rest of the folks. Then there's the bottom percentage, which is a healthy percentage of people that, and I'm going to be very, this is going to sound horrendously rude, but I mean this as an incredible compliment. They're people that don't look like they should be out there doing this event, whether they are heavier or whether they are amputees or whatever it is. You look at them and you're like, wow, you are really tackling something that is a reach, you know, wow. Just, I mean, those are the people that inspire me every day. I don't care if you weigh 300 pounds. I don't care if you're missing a limb, whatever that is. If you don't look physically like it is where you should be, I'm applauding you the whole way, and you're feeding you're fueling me, because I'm like, if you are going to attack this the way you're attacking it with that mindset, and I can see it on your face, I can do this too. And then there's the whole middle section, which are people that have been training hard, people that are relatively fit, and people that are trying to beat and best their own times and are steadily trying to get closer to that elite level. So you have the people that are finishing in crazy times. You have the people that are finishing in what are considered quote unquote normal times. And then you have the people that are going to make it within 8.5 hours. Here's the reason I say all that is Ironman does something incredible. And it's probably the last 40 yards, might be a little bit less. In my head, it felt like it was 200 yards, to be honest. They bring you at the very end of your run. And whether it's 70.3, 140, doesn't matter, whatever it is, you're at the very end of your run and you enter a chute, and they bring like gates, like fan gates, you know, like metal grate gates in tight. You have about 10 feet, maybe 12, you know, side to side, and they line it with all the Ironman carpets all the way up this chute, all the way to the finish line. And it is full of fans. There's people lined up on both sides. There's kids trying to high five you because you're doing some crazy event and you're an athlete. And you feel, and I mean no disrespect with this word, no matter how long it's been on the race, you feel like a god coming through. It's the first and only time outside of those people that have been professional athletes or big time athletes that you're getting hype. I mean, yeah, you're getting cheered. You're getting
chanting
hype.
Your name, saying your name, and everything. Because like
they're,
that.
You know, they're saying your name over the loudspeakers, so people have heard your name. Let's go, Jason.
Because that
go.
Usually only something happens that happens at like team sports, right? Yes. So you play basketball, you play football, yeah. You play baseball, yeah. Like you get the whole thing. But usually,
yes.
That doesn't happen like for a track and field or something like that. It will,
or certainly,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Recreational sports, like, you know, all of us that bike, run, and swim or do whatever, you go out there and do a triathlon, and it's not like, you know, you're used to pounding pavement, you're used to putting in hours, you're not used to finishing something hard, and it doesn't erase how tired you are, but you forget about it for a minute. For that final 40 yards, whatever it is, you are floating as you come up. People are screaming your name. There's cowbells. People are high-fiving you. Little kids, like I said, are trying. Little kids are begging for you to slap their hands as you walk by. You almost forget how hard the last up to 8.5 hours, you know, depending on your time, you know, last 3.5 to 8.5 hours were on your body. You almost forget it. You almost forget that an hour ago you hated life. And I don't even like the word hate, but you hated life an hour ago because you were just trying to exist through. And you cross that line and you immediately go from your brain going, this is the worst thing I've ever done. Why would anyone ever sign up to do this? You finish through that shoot and you cross that line and they say your name and immediately you're like, you know, I should probably know when the next one is. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I should just know when it's going to be, just in case.
And then immediately pass out.
And then you pass out. Yeah. Then they drag you through the end of the show.
That's awesome. Like, honestly, like that's an incredible feat, man.
It's a cool experience.
I was really happy for you. Very proud of you, man. Because
it's a great community.
I know. I saw how hard that you worked for a long time to get to that spot. So
thank you.
So yeah, man. But
it was a thing. Shoot.
We're against it, so let's go ahead and break, and we're going to come back and wrap it up. Man, I got some rapid-fire questions for my guy, so that's coming up next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Let's get it.
Sports Saturday on the Fan. I would love to do it, but, man,
I'm trying to hype you up.
I don't know if I would want to.
Now, that's it.
That's crazy.
But like, that's it.
That's crazy. Like, I'm just thinking about being one of the people that actually drowned in the pool, or drowned, oh excuse God. Me, drowned in the water. That would probably be me. So
no,
it's
not. You're in a wetsuit.
Yeah, okay. And
I'm a good swimmer, and I feel like I'd drown. I don't think it'd matter.
Yeah.
Just get too tired.
In the river, like, yeah, I'm, hey, man.
That's why it's first. You're fresh. You're in a wetsuit. It's like wearing a life jacket. You're good.
I saw the Oregon 70.3.
That's what I did.
You did?
Yeah,
so
what I did.
That was down in Salem.
Yep.
Was that the Willamette then that you swam in?
Yep.
All right. So you didn't get any of the sediment or anything in your mouth. You're still here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's safe.
Yeah, I made it. I mean, I got a third eye, but, you know.
First thing, after training like that for a long time, that's probably don't get a chance to eat all the things you want. What was the first thing you had, especially coming from Salem? Man, stop right
in and
there.
Out. In and out. Going.
Stop right there, man.
You know,
Flying Dutchman's.
I'm a creature of habit. I'm not a food person. So for me, it was, we came straight home. We came straight home and I got into what I normally eat. The beauty of this is, and you know, without going too far into detail, you have to become almost a low-level nutritionist to be able to do it, because you have to understand how much carbohydrate you're supposed to get per hour, how much sodium you're supposed to get per hour, how much actual water you're supposed to get in an hour. Do you like liquid carbohydrates? Do you like solids? Do you like sugar? Do you like maltodextrin? Like, you have to make so many choices based on your stomach, based on how your body processes food under stress. You know, it's one thing if you're
sounds
sitting
awful.
Under, it's a thing. A lot of people, I mean, you hear it said all the time that nutrition hydration is actually the fourth leg of the triathlon, which I get is an oxymoron, but it's the fourth leg. If you don't knock down your nutrition hydration for these longer events, it'll tax you. It'll beat you up. And so for me, what I was going to say to that is, when you're training that hard, you are eating so much. And it's kind of an ongoing joke in the community that I do this so I can eat what I want, when I want, how I want. And your body is just churning through it, because your metabolism, your engine is on high. And I mean, I'm doing 3,500 calories a day minimum and maintaining or losing weight. And
I mean,
that's a lot of calories.
Like Chris Hemsworth. So, I mean, I'm not going to, yeah, you probably do. Thor's joining us, you know, on the air today, but,
you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
But man, so I got a couple questions for you.
Let's go.
And just rapid fire. I just want you to answer, you know, as fast as possible.
Yep.
Some of them are going to be kind of corny. Some of them are going to,
let's go.
Well, why don't you be honest? All right, man. First question, let's go. Favorite country that you've seen.
Favorite country that I've seen. I will take either Greece or Thailand.
What's the most beautiful place?
The most beautiful places I've been are the Greek Isles. You get down into Santorini, you get down in some of these really, you know, more sparsely populated, just the water is a color of blue you can't describe. All the building, I mean, it's picture postcard Greece. It's white buildings, blue roofs, it's, you know, blue roof. It's, yeah, it's otherworldly.
What's your least favorite cruise food?
Least favorite cruise food. You know, the issue with cruise food for me is everything is cooked in either heavy oil or heavy butter. And so even when you're outside of like lettuce and salad, but when you're trying to get just like, hey, can I get some of that steamed broccoli? Yeah, it's not steamed. It's steamed in butter. You know, it's done in. So my least favorite cruise food is the fact that most cruise lines just absolutely obliterate everything with as much oil and butter as they possibly can.
What's one cruise that people should go on, but they would never think about
Alaska
going?
Really?
Alaska. Alaska is overlooked constantly because it's Alaska. It's viewed as kind of a training wheels cruise when you work on board because it's a cruise that takes care of itself. When you get out there, everyone's on deck just staring out at the world all day, every day. You're seeing glaciers, you're seeing orcas, you're seeing so much wildlife. You're visiting these really rustic places. It's absolutely gorgeous. The weather is beautiful in the summer. Alaska is one of the greatest cruises out there. And it's certainly for people on the West Coast, it's right here. They leave out of Seattle and Vancouver. It's stunning. If you want to go international and say a cruise that people should do, when you get up into the Baltic countries of Europe, it's a different world up there. It is a really unique experience, and it's hard to explain. It needs to be seen. It's a very forward thinking, very positive, very unique culture in the Baltic states.
In your opinion, what's the most overrated cruise to take?
Overrated cruise to take. You know, it's the most common cruise in the world, so to call it overrated is hard. But knowing what I do now for a living, anything in the Caribbean, the Caribbean is great if you're just getting away. If your excuse is you just want to get on a ship, you just want to go eat, lay in the sun, and sneak away for 4 or 5, 7 days, fine, totally fine. But if you're looking for destinations and to go do something, the Caribbean is just rinse and repeat. And again, no disrespect to the Caribbean islands, they're gorgeous, but it's just kind of the same thing again and again and again and again and again.
What country do you most look forward to eating in?
Japan. All day, every day, nice. Japan.
Why Japan?
Sushi nut. It's Japan. It's where it comes from. I'm a real simple meat and rice guy, and a lot of Japanese food is you know, meat and rice.
What's the worst thing about living on a cruise ship, like, for a long period of time? Because, like, there are a lot of awesome things. Yeah. But I kind of wonder, what are the hangups?
There's a bunch of hangups, honestly. The big hangups for living on a cruise ship is you get into your rhythm on board, but it's not a real life rhythm. You don't have grocery stores. You don't have, like, if you want something, you know, certainly if you're overseas, like if you're doing a South America run or an Asia run or Europe run or an Africa run or whatever run you're on, you know, you don't just bop out to Walmart and grab what you want. You don't just bop out to, you know, Fred Meyer and scoop that thing that you wanted to. And that includes the toothpaste brands you like and shampoo you enjoy, whatever, down to the basics. You know, you kind of exist where you are. So that's part of it. The hardest part outside of that is it's a petri dish of an environment. It's like I said, it is a closed unit. You have recycled air, you have recycled humans. It is a cruise ship that holds anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 people. And you know, it's Groundhog's Week. It's every week is the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again.
What do you look forward most? What do you look forward to most when you get home besides family?
I am, and anyone that knows me, this actually is kind of different than probably the initial perception, but I'm an incredibly, incredibly deep-seated introvert. I am, clinically speaking, a deep-seated introvert. Clinically speaking, meaning how we expel and gain energy. We tend to think that introverts and extroverts are good and bad with people, which isn't the case at all. It's how we feel at the end of an interaction. So for me, when I come home, I literally will disappear. I will go dead quiet. I will hide in my house for at least a week, if not 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got a call. People was like, man, is Vinner back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like even my closest people, I'm like, I love you, but I need a minute to just breathe and hide.
And when you're on all the time, when you're hosting, that's like every day doing the stuff, because you're not just the host, you're like You're the problem solver.
You're the face,
right?
And voice.
You know, you're the person that, hey, man, I'm missing this, or I'm doing this. Hey, man, let's go figure that out. So I can imagine that's a lot. So
like that British lady on the Poop Cruise documentary on Netflix, that's you, right?
Basically.
Yeah. All right. Just that
was me. That's not me anymore. That was me up to about the age of 35.
We're much bigger than that now.
You know, we got different things now, but yes.
We're on some other stuff.
But yes, man. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you never had a situation like that to deal with.
I've had a few, but not that one, but I've had real close to that. Yeah, Julie, man. From the Love Boat.
Yeah, you'll have to come in again and kind of tell us more. But, man, Jason Venner, man, thank you so much for coming in, bro. I really appreciate you, man. You're one of those guys that, man, you don't really have to do any of this stuff and everything. So you did this just because
you're
my homie,
people.
And I appreciate that, man, very much. So anytime you want to come back and talk some sports and everything, we're definitely glad to have you.
I appreciate y'all. It's an honor. And to all the folks that are listening and following along, man, it's the best in the business right here. So thanks for tuning in.
Oh, man, he's talking about my guy, Jordan Schultz, behind the glass. Jordan, thank you so much, as always, man. It's been a pleasure, you know, to do this. So I know you're not going to be gone next week.
Yeah. Wife's birthday, but love you guys. Nice to meet you, Jason.
Well,
and love y'all out there.
I'll hold it down, man. So for my guy, Jordan Schultz, and my good friend, Jason Venner, I'm Rashad Taylor. I'm going to holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.